Amen. So with that said, God bless you, and I want to call up our pastor, Pastor Brian, to give us the word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I want to invite us to turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6. If I can get a little more on the monitors up here. Galatians chapter 6 is going to be our foundational text for this morning. I'm excited this morning to launch a new series entitled Returning to the Cross. Returning to the Cross. For the next 5 weeks, we are going to take a deep dive into the purpose and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to take this journey with us, because what we are going to be learning in the next 5 weeks is going to be crucial to the strength of your spiritual foundation. Everybody in here has a spiritual foundation. And I am not as concerned of preaching something that will make you feel good for a temporary moment as I am concerned with teaching you something that will strengthen your foundation, so that when the storms of life hit you, and they will hit you, you just keep on living, and eventually a storm will hit you. Our prayer is that your foundation is strong enough to withstand the storms of life. Someone say amen to that. So we're going to be taking a journey. I want to encourage you to take this journey with us for the next 5 weeks as we lead up to Resurrection Sunday, as we lead up to Easter Sunday. And we're going to throw a party on Easter Sunday, because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. But we cannot skip the process. We cannot just skip to Resurrection Sunday. You will never, never understand the victory of the resurrection until you understand the pain and the significance of the cross. A lot of us, or in our generation, I should say, we want to skip the pain and go directly to the purpose. But many times you go through the process of pain so that you could appreciate the day of victory. And this is the reason why some people don't understand your praise, because they don't understand your pain. They don't understand why you get loud in worship. They don't understand why you lift up your hands. They don't understand why you dance before the Lord, because they don't understand the darkness that God delivered you out of. And so in this next 5 weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into the purpose and the power of the cross of Calvary. Bring your Bibles, bring your pens, take some notes. Now, unbelievers don't understand the cross, because if they did, they would run to the cross. Many believers don't appreciate the cross, because if they did, they would live differently. Anybody catch that? Unbelievers don't understand the cross, because if they did, they would run to the cross. Many believers don't appreciate the cross, because if they did, they would live differently. Some of us don't understand the cross. Some of us have forgotten the cross. And some of us are not responding appropriately to the cross. And so I want to encourage us over the next 5 weeks to return to the cross. And my prayer, my goal, as I study God's word and I teach you what I've been learning, my goal is to reposition the cross to the center of our life, to the center of our faith. Now, one of the first things that we need to get is that the cross is not just a historical fact that took place 2,000 years ago, but the cross is a powerful truth that we are to walk in and stand on. It is not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. But it is a powerful truth that we need to walk in and stand on. Walking in the power of the cross will set you free from insecurity. Walking in the power of the cross will empower you to press through the mental attacks of the enemy. Walking in the power of the cross will help you to walk in your new identity in Christ Jesus. Walking in the power of the cross will help deliver you from an identity crisis. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, I'm going to put it up on the screen. He said, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is going to be our memory verse for the next 2 weeks. I want to challenge you to write it down. Memorize it. I'm going to test you. When I walk by you, I'm going to test you. Hey, quote 1 Corinthians 1:18. That's right. When you come to church, you're going to get homework. Amen. Listen to what Apostle Paul said. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, that's me and you, who are being saved, it is the power of God. There's power at the cross of Jesus. There's deliverance at the cross of Jesus. There is freedom at the cross of Jesus. Now, when I say the cross, I am not merely referring to two pieces of wood being put together. When I reference the cross these next 5 weeks, and I'm going to say the cross a billion times, you're going to get tired of me talking about the cross, because that's my assignment from God, is to teach you about the cross. But when I mention the cross, I am not referring to a piece of jewelry. Anybody follow along? When I say the cross, I am referring to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When I say the cross, I am referring to all that Jesus suffered and all he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. When I say the cross, I'm referring to what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Something deeply spiritual took place on the cross of Calvary. Something powerful took place on the cross. Now, the phrase, the cross, is an expression that gathers up and contains all that Jesus did in his suffering and accomplishment on the cross of Calvary. That term, the cross, is an expression that gathers up and contains the great fact and the significance of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The physical wooden cross, only is significant because of what happened on it and who it happened to. That's the only reason why this physical wooden cross is significant, because of what happened on the cross and who it happened to. Speaking of Jesus and speaking of the cross, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, I'm going to put it up on the monitor. He said, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Speaking about Jesus, speaking about our Savior, speaking about our God, he looked over the world and he saw a broken world. He saw a world rebelling against him. And what does he do? He doesn't send somebody on behalf of him. No, God Almighty wraps himself up in flesh, makes him a human being. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, but not just any type of death, the death of the cross on Calvary. And so we're going to be learning about this for the next 5 weeks. I'm going to challenge you, commit the next 5 Sundays to the Lord by being in the house of the Lord while we study together the great power and purpose of the cross of Calvary. Now, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. If you're able, I want to invite us to stand up to our feet for the reading of our foundational text. Let us stand to our feet. Someone once asked, why do we stand to our feet? We stand to our feet because we believe this Bible is the inspired word of God. We believe that this Bible is the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we stand in honor of reading God's word. Someone say amen to that. Now, before I read Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, you need to understand what's going on at this particular time in history when Apostle Paul wrote this letter. During this time, Apostle Paul writes this letter to the churches that are in Galatia because the churches were being under heavy attack by the enemy. But this was not an attack from the outside. This was an attack from the inside. The enemy sent false believers into the church to try to change our message of the sufficiency of the cross of Calvary. Now, it's very interesting that the enemy is a sophisticated enemy. In fact, we are teaching about spiritual warfare on Thursday night. My wife is doing an awesome job. We kicked it off last Thursday night. We had over 2,000 views in one night through Facebook and online on that class on spiritual warfare. Very significant. So we're teaching about the strategy of the enemy. You need to understand, we have a strategic enemy. And when the enemy figured out that he couldn't wipe us off of the face of the earth because he tried to kill us, he tried to feed us to lions, he tried to burn us at the stake, but when he figured out Christians don't die, they multiply, he changed his strategy. And what he did was, instead of attacking us from the outside, he began to attack us from the inside by trying to change our message. That's what he tried to do. He basically said, if I can't stop them from testifying, if I can't stop them from preaching, then I'm going to change their message. So when they get up and speak, they'll speak the wrong thing. So Paul, he writes this letter to confront these enemies of the cross that had snuck into the church to spy out our freedom. And in confronting them, he teaches us some valuable lessons on the cross of Calvary that we are going to start to learn this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. Feed us, Lord, we ask. Feed us understanding, feed us faith, feed us hope and strength. Please, 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 please don't allow us to leave as we came in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So, Apostle Paul writes this letter to combat false believers that are in the church. They were trying to add to the cross of Calvary. They were trying to pollute our message. They were trying to pollute our message. And Apostle Paul writes this passage of scripture that we're going to be reflecting upon for the next couple weeks. I'm going to encourage you through your devotion throughout the week, go back to this passage of scripture, get familiar with it, glean from it, meditate upon it, reflect upon it. But this morning, I have just two major reflections for us to consider and learn that are rooted in this passage of scripture that Apostle Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, teaches us about the cross of Calvary. And here's number one. Someone say number one. The cross is the central focus of Christianity. The cross is the central focus of Christianity. Now, let me unpack this for a couple moments, some things that we need to understand. Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament Bible. And when he wrote most of the New Testament Bible, he didn't really write it. What he did was he dictated it. He spoke out the revelation, and he had a scribe who would write it down, and the scribe would formulate the letters, and then they would send the letters to the various churches. Is everybody following along? When Apostle Paul wrote most of the letters of the New Testament, he didn't really write it. He would speak them out, and a scribe would write out what he said, and then they would take the letters and circulate them among the churches. So that's how he put the Holy Spirit, put together most of the New Testament Bible. But something fascinating happened at the end of this letter to Galatians. Something interesting happened when he came to close this letter and he came to write about the cross of Jesus Christ. Something different happened. Apostle Paul, in effect, said, what I'm about to write is so important that I cannot risk you misunderstanding me. I cannot risk you not getting what I'm about to say. So what Apostle Paul did, because of the importance of the message of the cross, he took the pen of the scribe and he said, I'm going to write this section by myself and I'm going to write it in big letters so that the church don't miss what I'm about to say about the cross. Anybody follow along? This is where we discover in verse 11, he says, see what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, this was equivalent in our day of Apostle Paul writing in all caps, all bold letters, underlined, and then highlighted with a yellow marker. That's what that was equivalent to. This message of the cross is so important that I cannot risk you misunderstanding. So I'm going to write it in all caps. I'm going to write it in all bold. I'm going to underline it. And then I'm going to take a yellow highlighter and mark it up so that you can get what I'm about to say. Why does he do this? He does this because the cross is the central focus of Christianity. The cross is the centerpiece of Christianity. No cross, no Christianity. No cross, no Christianity. This is one of the major truths I need you to get this morning. No cross, no Christianity. No cross, no Christianity. When I was in prison, for the 16 years that I was in prison, for 10 years, they had me in the desert on the border of California and Arizona in a prison called Chuckawalla Prison. And for 10 years, almost every day, we would play basketball in the gym. That's all we did. It was the most exciting thing other than church to do in prison, which is to play basketball. We even gave the gym our own name, and we called it the Chuckawalla Dome. And every day when they would open the yard, we would run to the basketball court, get out a basketball, and we would play basketball. Now, through the course of 10 years, there were many occasions when we ran to the gym. There was no correctional officer available to give us a basketball. And because we didn't have a basketball, guess what? We couldn't play basketball. So what we would do is we would sit on the court underneath the rim and we would just fellowship. We would talk. We would joke around. And we had a good time, but at the end of the day, we were bummed out because we didn't have a basketball. And guess what? You couldn't replace the basketball with anything else. You couldn't replace the basketball with a soccer ball. You couldn't replace the basketball with a football. I would even try to like fake it and act like I had a basketball and shoot like that just to kind of satisfy my soul, my desire to play basketball. But guess what? That really didn't do the job. You know why? Because no basketball, no game. Anybody following along? Now, when you expand the illustration to the National Basketball Association, the NBA, have you ever thought about the NBA or ever thought about this principle? That this whole organization is centered around one little ball. The only reason why the game of basketball is significant is because of a little ball. The only reason why the three-point shot is significant because of the little ball. The only reason why the slam dunk is significant, why? Because of the little ball. The only reason why the step back shot is significant, why? Because of the little ball. No ball, no basketball. And you cannot replace the ball either. When Kobe Bryant retired a couple years ago from basketball, he wrote a passionate letter. He wrote a passionate letter. And did you know that that letter was not written to his teammates? That letter was not even written to his coach. That letter was not even written to his fans. You know who that letter was written to? It was written to the basketball. It was written to the basketball. You know why? No ball, no basketball. A $1 billion industry centered around one little ball. And so it is. Likewise, in Christianity, no cross, no Christianity. No cross, no Christianity. A crossless Christianity is no Christianity at all. If the cross is missing, then everything else in Christianity becomes null and void. When the cross is removed from the centerpiece of our faith, then our relationship with God is negatively impacted. And we can never move away from the cross. We never outgrow the cross. We never come to a place where we say we know everything about the cross. We could never get tired of the cross. And I'll suggest to you this morning, you can never replace the cross. The cross cannot be replaced. You can't replace the cross with a crown, no matter how shiny it is. You cannot replace the cross with a crown. You can't even replace the cross with a dove. As beautiful as the dove is, the dove cannot replace the cross. You know why? Because the cross is the centerpiece of Christianity. Very important, because during the days of Paul, during the days of Jesus, they were trying to take the cross away from the center of our faith. And Paul wrote this letter and said, no, 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 no. Without a cross, there is no Christianity. In fact, when you study the letter of Galatians over and over again, the Apostle Paul writes to remind them, don't forget the cross. Galatians 1. Chapter 3, verse 4, I'm going to put it up on the screen. Listen to what Paul says. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. What is he referring to? The cross. Look at Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is he referring to? The cross. Over and over again in the book of Galatians, he tells them, don't forget the cross. Don't let nobody take you away from the cross. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm going to put it up on the monitor. Listen to what he says. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What does that refer to? The cross of Calvary. And then again, in Galatians 5, verse 14. I'm going to put it up on the monitor. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. He says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful verse right there. It means something that you don't think it means. It means something different than what you think it means. We're going to unpack this verse in the next couple weeks. It is a powerful verse when Paul says, I will boast about nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the cross made us who we are. And let me remind us, when I refer to the cross, I'm not talking about a piece of jewelry. When I refer to the cross, I'm referring to all that Jesus suffered and all that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. When I mention the cross these next 5 weeks, I'm referring to the purpose and the power of the cross of Calvary. The physical cross means nothing if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. So the cross, we must start here. The central focus of Christianity. No one enters the kingdom of God without coming to the cross. Can't do it. Can't sneak in the kingdom of God. Can't sneak, break in a window. You can't go through the back door. You got to go through the foot of the cross. And when you enter into the kingdom of God, you could never, ever, ever leave the cross, outgrow the cross, and remove the cross from your life, because that is the central focus of Christianity. Someone say amen to that. The last main reflection I have for us from the writings of Apostle Paul is the cross provides relationship, not religion. The cross provides relationship, not religion. Now remember, when Paul wrote this letter, he was correcting the problem of religion. He was correcting the problem of religion. The spirit of religion had crept into the church, and he needed to correct it. This is brought out before us in verse 12, when he says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these compel you to be circumcised. Let's unpack that for a couple moments. Let's get some understanding about what he means in that phrase. First of all, I want you to notice that phrase, good showing in the flesh. Notice that phrase, good showing. This refers to religious activity apart from Christ. When he talks about good showing, he's referring to religious activity in one's own energy apart from Christ. Has anybody ever tried to do something in your own energy apart from Jesus? So notice this phrase, good showing. Notice that phrase, good showing. Because religion is all about putting on a show. I need you to get this. Religion is all about putting on a show. So I serve to show. I lead to show. I worship to show. I preach to show. I come to church to show. You need to get this because I'm taking off the covers of the spirit of religion. Religion is all about putting on a show, and Paul reveals it to us in this verse right here. Is anybody picking up what I'm putting down? I serve to show. I give to show. I lead to show. Now, the word circumcision was a symbol, an outward symbol of religious commitment and activity apart from Christ. When he uses that word circumcision, this is what he means. It was an external symbol of religious commitment and activity apart from Christ. When Paul uses the word circumcised or circumcision in this book, he's referring to something more than just the medical procedure. He's not just talking about the medical procedure. Just like the term, the cross, gathered up all the facts and the meaning of what Jesus did on Calvary, the term circumcised and circumcision was an external symbol of religious commitment and activity apart from Christ, and it went on to be the enemy of the cross. Now, we need to talk like family just for a couple moments. If you're a visitor here, just hang on tight. We'll give you permission to eavesdrop for a couple moments. But we need to talk about the spirit of religion, because that's what Paul was addressing. That's what Paul was speaking about, that the cross provides relationship, not religion. The spirit of religion was invading the believers in the churches of Galatia, and it was damaging their faith. They were replacing relationship with God with religion toward God. They were replacing relationship with God with religion toward God. And Paul reminds them that the cross frees us from religion and provides a relationship with the Father. Paul reminds them that religion entangles us while relationship frees us. You don't have to turn there, but in Galatians 5:1, I'm just going to say it. Paul says, "It is in freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of slavery." So Paul is driving home the point that the cross is all about relationship, not religion. Now, when you talk about the spirit of religion, one of the things that we need to understand, all of us, including myself, from time to time, slip into the spirit of religion. So it's not a matter of if you slip into the spirit of religion, it is a matter of, will you be able to discern when you do and catch yourself and draw the cross back to the center of your faith? Is everybody following along? Because of the cross, we can have a relationship with God and not just a religious experience. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 John 1:3, listen to this. It says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship," that speaks of relationship, "with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, we are in danger when religion replaces relationship. We need to be careful, because the spirit of religion is sneaky. It is stealthy. It is a stealth attack of the enemy. And you need discernment to be able to identify it. We need to be careful, because the spirit of religion is sneaky. It's hard to detect. It's invisible. It's invisible. So let's talk a little bit more. What is religion? What is religion? Religion is obedience to God's expectations in the name of God, yet apart from God. What is religion? What are you talking about when you mention religion? Religion is obedience to God's expectations in the name of God, yet apart from God. When religious activities replace relationship, God's power is no longer experienced in our life. This is why Apostle Paul, this is what he meant when he wrote in Galatians 5:2, he said, "If you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." Remember, he's not just referring to the medical procedure of circumcision. He's referring to the religious spirit. He's referring to, if you operate in a religious spirit, then the power of the cross will have no effect on your life. If you function within Christianity with the religious robotic mindset, Christ will have no effect on your life. Now, think about it for a second. Let me give you something to think about. How is it that some people can be in church for 30 years and never be deeply transformed? Have you ever thought about that? How is it that some people can go to church week after week after week and never be deeply transformed? I suggest to you, it is because they have succumbed to the spirit of religion. And that is attack of the enemy. So the enemy says, if I can't stop them from coming to church, I'm going to get them to come to church with the wrong motives. And if they come to church with the wrong motives, they're going to be there, but not there. You see how sneaky the enemy is? You see how sly and wicked the enemy is? Now remember this. We all slip into the spirit of religion at different points in our life. So it's not a matter of if you do, it is a matter of when and if you'll have the discernment and the courage to pull the cross back at the center of your relationship. Does this make sense to anybody? For example, if you go to church because it's the religious thing to do, rather than because you are motivated to spend time worshiping God, learning about God and experiencing more about God, then that is religion. Now, I don't want new believers to misunderstand me. I don't care what attitude you're in. If you're a new believer, get to church. If you're an unbeliever, get to church. I'm talking mostly about those that have been in church for a long time. I'm talking about those that have been a part of Chapel of Change for, you know, a couple years now. We need to be careful with the attack of the spirit of religion upon us, where we serve out of obligation instead of an overflow of our relationship with God. And we're all susceptible to it. I'm guilty of it. There have been some times. Can I confess my sin to y'all? There have been some. Well, I got to go to church today. I got to go to church today. We're all susceptible to it. But in those moments, we need the discernment and the courage to say, no, 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 no. I need to bring the cross to the center of my faith again. So, what are some of the markers of religion? What are some of the markers of religion? Religion says, I obey, therefore I am accepted by God. That's what religion says. I obey, therefore I am accepted by God. So religion is the spirit that says, I earn my acceptance from God. I earn my salvation. Listen, I want to be clear. Nobody earns salvation. Nobody earns acceptance from God. Nobody earns righteousness from God. It is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is not by any works of our own. It is only because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. So religion says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted by God. Religion says, I obey because it makes me feel good about myself. That's what religion says. Can we talk like family? This is just for Chapel of Change. If you're a visitor, you could get to eavesdrop. Religion serves because serving God makes us feel better. Religion serves to make us, our self-esteem, better. So, worst case scenario, we could live a fornicating lifestyle, a partying lifestyle, and we're still going to come and serve on Sunday because serving on Sunday in the name of God, but apart from God, makes me feel better about my life. Is this on right here? I'm trying to expose the enemy. I'm trying to expose. That's the spirit of religion. Live any way I want to live, but I'm going to come and be an usher. I'm going to come and, you know, work in the operations or wherever it may be, because by me giving, serving, it makes me feel better about my life. That is the spirit of religion that we all need to repent of. We've all been guilty of it. We all need to repent of. We don't serve out of obligation. We serve out of overflow from our relationship with God. Religion says, I have to go to church. I have to serve. I have to give. That's the expression of religion. And let me just remind you, you don't have to do nothing but pay taxes and die. Religion says, I have to go to church. I have to serve. I have to give. Relationship, on the otherwise, when we have an abiding relationship, out of the overflow of our relationship, relationship says, I'm accepted by God through the cross of Jesus, therefore I obey. The cross accepts you. You are accepted to God by the cross. You come into the kingdom because of the cross. You are forgiven because of the cross. You are delivered because of the cross. You are set free because of the cross. Now that I'm accepted by God through the cross, now I want to obey God. Now I want to serve. Now I want to give back. So relationship says, I obey God out of gratitude for what Jesus did for me on the cross. I obey out of gratitude. I obey out of overflow of my gratitude for what Jesus did on the cross. You see how relationship flips it around? Relationship says, I get to go to church. I get to serve. I get to give, man. Let's go. We get to go to church, right? Well, there's some people in this world that don't get to go to church. There's some people in third world countries, they go to church, they're going to die. There's some people in prison that they're longing to go to church for that cell to open up and go to church. No, we right here, we get to go to church. We get to worship. We get to give back. We get to serve. We do it out of overflow, not obligation. That's the word, overflow, not obligation. Overflow, not obligation. Not obligation, overflow. Of our gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did on Calvary. My brothers and sisters, may we live out our lives with the cross of Jesus at the center of our faith. My brothers and sisters, may we live out our lives from the overflow of our relationship with God and not religious work. May we have the discernment to be able to tell when we slip into the spirit of religion. May we have the courage to bring the cross back to the center of our lives. This is what Apostle Paul's teaching us. This is our journey for the next 5 weeks. We're going to dive deep into the power and the purpose of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to join us. I want to invite you to take this journey with us for the next 5 weeks. I can guarantee you, if you lean into it, if you open up your heart, the word of the Lord the next 5 weeks will transform you in profound ways, so that on the day of resurrection, on the day of Easter, you will have a new profound praise. You will have a new profound adoration and worship for the resurrection, because you understand the price that was paid. Because you understand what Jesus did. You won't have a hollow praise. You won't have a hollow worship. No, you'll have a newfound worship because you understand what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, how the cross is the center of our Christian faith, and how the cross provides us relationship with the Father. We have access. And your life will be an overflow of that access with the Father. Let us bow our heads in the name of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed as the worship team comes up, while everybody remains seated in an atmosphere of reflection, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. What was it that God was trying to get across to us? What was it that God was trying to tell us? Just for the next couple moments, God is not done speaking to us. Let us bow our heads and our hearts and reflect upon the word of the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anybody in here who's going through a rough time and you just need extra spiritual strength, you need special prayer, I want to pray with you right where you're at. I'm just going to say a group prayer if it's more than just one person. But if you just need extra spiritual strength, stand up on your feet and we will pray for you. In this season of your life where you're at, just stand up on your feet. If you need extra spiritual strength, mental strength, physical strength, let me just pray. I want to pray with you. We believe in the power of prayer. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask my wife to pray. Would you come up here?
pray for those who stood up. Many of them are going through trials. Many of them are going through pressure and stress in their life. We want to just lift them up for freedom.
Father, we thank you that you are always available to meet us where we're at. We thank you again and again that you invite us into your throne of grace to receive mercy and help in our time of need. So we come before you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we ask you to give your people supernatural strength in their spirit, Lord God, that you would renew their spirit, Lord. We ask you, God, to help them. Lord God, we thank you for giving them help, Lord, in every area of their life. May you renew, Lord God, a desire to seek your face, to spend time with you, to gain from time spent in your presence the strength needed, Lord God. We thank you that we can depend on your word. Your word says that when we wait upon you, you shall renew our strength, Lord God, that we shall mount up with wings like eagles, that we shall run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. We thank you, Lord, also that you are the comforter, and that you comfort us in our time of pain and our time of oppression. And God, you see the pressure that some of your people are going through. We ask you, Lord, to lift the pressure in Jesus' name. We ask you to give them peace and fresh hope in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that your mercy is new every day. We call upon your mercy this day for your people. May you have your way in their life, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand praise. You may be seated in the presence.